Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
The sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on this Tuesday. Man, is the weather been great the last couple of days. After that, whatever that was that came through the other day with all the wind. I mean, we got a little rain, but I mean, the wind was unbelievable. But since then, gorgeous. I mean, just beautiful weather here the last couple of days. I mean, if you have to be cleaning up, which I had to, it was unbelievable. I mean, the limbs and debris and just mess down. But if you're going to have to be outside, couldn't ask for any better weather than this in August. It has been absolutely beautiful for the first 2 days of class on campus. So welcome in here on the Tuesday Drive. Dan, how you doing,
man? I'm doing all right, Bill. How was
It was really good.
Who did you see?
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Okay, we've talked about
Chicago.
This. Okay.
And this one of the lengthier
had you
shows.
Ever seen Earth, Wind, and Fire
I'd never
before.
Seen Earth, okay. Wind, and Fire live. I'd say Chicago was actually as good or maybe better than the last time I saw them.
Earth, Wind, and Fire, I feel like, had been a jazz fest staple. Like, they were often brought in, you know, they'd played in. So for some reason I thought you'd seen Earth, Wind, and Fire before. I hadn't seen them.
But they started, all right, so they started at 6:30 our time. And after the last time...
This is the amphitheater in Atlanta?
This the last time we went to Ameris Bank Amphitheater, 285 was backed up so much that, I mean, we missed the first of the John Waite. Well, missed most of John Waite. And we got notices yesterday morning saying the traffic's expected to be very rough here with school back in session. And so we left yesterday a little after 1 o'clock. And we made it there. We were only there about an hour ahead of time. But let's see. Are we on? I just got a little notification. So we get there. Weather was gorgeous. But they started at 6:30 our time, 7:30 Eastern. They played for a little over an hour, about an hour 15. Took a little break. Chicago came on, played for more than an hour and a half, and they took a little break, and then they both came back and played. It ended up being over 3.5 hours last night. It was a great show. Really was. I was pleased. My wife was like, she'd been thinking, well, this one's not going to match up to some of the other shows we've seen. But no, it was really good. So glad we got a chance to go. Sort of the end of our summer concert series. Really bummed that Aerosmith isn't going to be touring in October. We've still got an ELO show, but
There's a trip coming up, right? Isn't there a cruise or something? I thought you were
no, not yet.
Is that not right? Okay, never mind then.
We're talking about traveling sometime.
That's
no, we
right.
We haven't booked anything.
These are candidates to replace Aerosmith on the you got to make up some dates, right?
That's right. I got to see some possibilities, but that was going to fit in perfectly because that was the open date, the Auburn's first open date weekend in football.
And you're planning on making the trip to Lexington for the Are you thinking about the other Bama and Georgia as well? Maybe not Missouri.
Have you
been to Columbia, Missouri before?
No.
Okay.
But no, I don't think so. I don't think anybody else is planning on going to Columbia. Well, actually, I've been to Columbia, but not for football. Nobody wanted Georgia tickets. I've requested credentials to Georgia and got tickets for Alabama. Last time I requested credentials to Alabama, remember this? I got turned down. 2 years ago. Got turned down.
Well, we're some fly-by-night outlet.
I mean, no,
you know
no, no.
I mean, like,
I mean
who
the
knows?
Thing is,
who's ever heard of?
I had gotten credentials. I have had credentials for every Iron Bowl since 1979, and I didn't get them in Tuscaloosa 2 years ago. And it's
there
like,
must be new people or something. I don't know.
Must have been. I didn't push it. It's like, okay, no biggie. It didn't feel like.
Are they getting?
It didn't feel like I was going to really miss out on a whole lot that time. But it sort of sucked.
Are they getting tighter on the?
Maybe I don't know.
That's wild to me.
Well, they told me. Well, the thing is, what I got was
usually someone
there are more websites that need seats. And it's like, oh, okay, fine.
Usually in that situation, maybe this is an old school. I always imagine that you'd talk to the people and see. All right,
I would have.
Internally, I would think there'd be a discussion of does he go to every, does he cover really? Every Auburn home game?
Yes.
Is he, you know what I mean? And that's maybe a
have yeah. Do I cover every home? Have I been to every game that they played in Tuscaloosa? Yes. You know, so whatever.
Is this the first time his name has come through the system?
No.
Applying for a credential?
No. Yeah, they obviously had some new people.
Anyways, well, I'm glad you enjoyed Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, yeah. It was really good Chicago. Show. So yeah, we had a good time last night.
25.
Late getting back.
25 or 6 to
Let me tell
to,
you what.
To 4.
That was the finale. That
I
was
believe
the last
it. I believe
song.
It.
And my battery went out. I'm recording some clips. My phone battery went dead. And let me probably as impressive a thing as was in the entire show were the three guitars, Chicago's lead guitar and Earth, Wind, and Fire's two guitarists, each took solos in the 25 or 6 to 4, and it was.
Oh, they brought Earth, Wind, and Fire back out.
Yeah,
for
the
that's
two
amazing.
Of them came
that's
back
cool.
and like multi horned.
That's fun.
And took turns singing with each other.
That's always cool.
Yeah,
when you have you know,
cool. That's what I mean.
So a collaboration.
It was Earth,
between
Wind, and Fire. Then it was Chicago. Then it was the both of them coming back out. So no, good show. So while I'm gone, it's like wow. Okay, we knew that that Auburn was going to determine its backup quarterback, number two quarterback. So that is announced. And then on the initial Tiger Talk last night, which I listened to a minute or two, it was just before the show was starting, I hear that we are looking at more changes possibly there on the offensive line.
Yeah, what a shakeup. I mean, since...
That's since we talked to Percy Lewis. When was that last?
That was Friday.
Friday?
That was Friday, yeah. That was
Friday,
yeah.
He had said yeah. That was the first time he had ever practiced anywhere other than left tackle, and it was at right tackle. Since then...
Well, it was last Thursday, when Ferg was here, we had sort of a spur-of-the-moment conversation about how maybe pass pro wasn't being talked enough about, you know, wasn't being talked about enough compared to, you know, it's very convenient to blame all of Auburn's problems in the passing game last year on Peyton Thorne and the receivers that were on the team last year and Phillip Montgomery's play calling, because Auburn has reason to believe those three things will be better than they were last year. Offensive line is a little bit more of a gamble,
right,
as far as reasons to believe, and especially against major competition. Pass protection was one of the problems, and so that's something that we were wondering if folks had maybe, you know, maybe that was an under scrutinized or under analyzed part of this team's potential on offense. And then Hugh Freeze gives his answer on Friday, talking about it being his biggest concern, mm-hmm. singling out that communication was a problem. Connor Lue would call would make the right read, and it wasn't getting out to the other four guys. We've seen some position shakeups. The praise for Tyler Johnson has been unending, which makes me wonder, you know, if he's gonna slot in somewhere. And now there's Dylan Wade,
yeah,
moving outside from guard to tackle, the position he played most of last season, and opening up a spot. Braden Joyner, Tate Johnson,
yeah. And that's we've got the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us. He's headed up to Clanton to speak to the Chilton County Auburn Club this evening, and let's bring him in and get him in on this discussion. Hey, Andy, how you doing today?
Guys, I'm doing well. I enjoyed the conversation about Chicago and Earth, Wind, and Fire.
It was a great show.
When I was in high school, and I didn't play high school basketball, but I played in the pep band, and 25 or 64 was one of our all-time favorite songs.
Oh, yeah.
To play.
It was always fun for trombone. Any Chicago songs were fun for trombone, right, which I played.
I also want to point out, I've been on a big Seinfeld kick lately, especially later seasons, and the song Elaine dances to when she does her little kicks is Shining Star by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
That was the opening song last night. So that the opening song of the show was Shining Star, and the closing song was 25.
And so I think of Julia Louis-Dreyfus doing her kicks and thumbs dance whenever I hear the opening riff of Shining Star.
Is Philip Bailey still with Earth, Wind, and Fire? Was he at one time with Earth, Wind, and Fire?
He was. He is not. He is not. There are three of the original members left. Which appropriately, I mean, since that's what you think, but I mean, no, they're right. Three of the originals. They're lead guitar, one of the percussion and singers, and lead singer, guy with the super high voice.
Earth, Wind, and Fire is all represented then.
Yes, I said the elements are still there, so.
Indeed.
really, really good. So where are you speaking? Was I right? Is it the Chilton County
Auburn
Club?
Yeah, you're right. Driving up 280, I'll head over at Alex City, head over to Clanton to the Chilton County Auburn Club. I've been doing this is probably 7 or 8 years. I was doing this before Rod passed away because they typically held it on a Thursday night, and Rod, of course, was doing Tiger Talk at that point. So I've done this every year. So this is year 7 or 8 to speak to the folks in Clanton. I hope I get some peaches or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the benefits of this club.
That's right. I mean, if you miss out on any of the Saturday morning market, you know, then absolutely.
Exactly.
Hey, like I said, I just caught a couple of minutes of Tiger Talk last night while we were waiting for the show to get started, but some news from Hugh Freeze last night.
And I don't know how often we'll get news like that
sure.
in the future because he will have also had his press conference, his weekly press conference.
Right.
That Monday afternoon, but it was a couple pieces of news, and the first dealt with what you guys were just talking about, that offensive line, and of course he hinted about this last Friday,
right?
That's the concern that he has offensively. I didn't know exactly what he was talking about. Last night he spelled it out that it's really the left side of the offensive line, and he talked last night on the show about moving Percy Lewis in to guard and then moving the guy that started almost every game, left tackle, back out to left tackle. Now, he didn't say that that's a done deal and that's the only thing that's going to happen. That's just the idea, I think, that they're looking at right now. So that was the first bit of news. And then coming out of, I guess, the last break that he was on, we talked quarterbacks, and of course, last Friday as well, he said, I know who I want to be. I have my mind set on who's going to be the backup quarterback. I want to tell the guys first, and apparently that happened yesterday during the day, and he had disclosed that Hank Brown is indeed the backup right now to Peyton Thorne, with Holden Garner and Walker White as the 3 and the 4 right now. And it was not necessarily an indictment on Holden. I think he feels comfortable in putting Holden in the game. He certainly feels comfortable with putting Hank in the game. I just think he likes the way that Hank has progressed. And really, for all of us, it started in that mop-up duty in the Music City Bowl last year in Nashville. Well, we kind of got an idea what he can do in the pocket. So that was the two bits of news that we had last night on Tiger Talk. We did the show at the Hall of Fame Club at Plainsman Park with our corporate partners on the Auburn Sports Network. Great setting, by the way. Fabulous setting. I highly encourage you to take advantage of that during baseball season. You can take advantage of that during football season, by the way, as well, especially for the Tiger Walk time.
Oh, yeah.
But we had a great time last night. And then starting next Monday, game week, we will be at Baumhauer's Victory Grill for Tiger Talk on Mondays.
Andy, I was struck by what Coach Freeze had to say Friday when talking about the offensive line, and I can't help but wonder, and I mean, they could go to somebody who's relatively inexperienced, like a Braden Joyner or like a Tyler Johnson, for these solutions on the left side. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Tate Johnson were drafted into duty, just because if communication is a problem, you would think that someone who has to know all of the same calls that Connor Lue knows as the backup center and has been on the team since Gus Malzahn was the head coach, like Tate Johnson, would be prepared to at least establish the communication part. I don't know, I think that I think Nathan King made this point on the podcast last night, that a left side of Dylan Wade and Tate Johnson would need to prove itself.
Oh yeah.
Before people could feel rock solid about it, but those are a pair of veterans.
Well, Dylan, you pretty much know what you have with him at left tackle. It's really interesting to look at the options right now. I mean, it started with Percy Lewis at left tackle and Dylan at left guard. So now what Hugh Freeze and Derek Nix and Jake Thornton have to determine is what's the best situation that they have. Is it moving Dylan Wade out and either trying Percy or Braden Joyner or Tate Johnson inside, or is it keeping Dylan inside and seeing if Tyler Johnson is better than Percy out there at left tackle? I really wonder, after what we heard from Percy Lewis on Friday, when he said this was the first time he'd ever practiced anywhere except left tackle, and it was right tackle, and now it's left guard. It's going to be really interesting to see who gets that start at the left tackle spot, and then if that is something that can be, status quo.
And then who gets that start? And then who gets that start at left tackle in week four?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Not just who starts that first one. They hope that they can plug somebody in there now that would be the starter, barring injury, for the rest of the season.
Well, you mentioned Tate, and Tate Johnson's kind of Auburn's Swiss Army knife on the offensive line. I mean, he can certainly play any of the three interior spots for Auburn, and I think has at some point. So you have that flexibility with a guy like Tate Johnson. You know, last night on the show, on Tiger Talk, Coach Freeze only mentioned Dylan Wade
right. And
Percy Lewis and talked about flip-flopping those two guys. Now, my guess is there's probably more to that than just that as a possibility right now. And I know that, the word has that Connor Johnson is the man. They feel pretty good about him. I wonder if they feel much the same way about him now as they did about Lue a year ago. Not sure. But in last night's show, the only thing he talked about was moving Percy in and moving Dylan out, but he said he didn't make it sound like that's a done deal, that's the solution at this point. I do get the idea that they are going to continue to look at this spot. So I think this week I think is very important.
Oh, very.
For that left side of the offensive line. I think they'd like to have that spot, cemented by the time game week rolls around next week, and you're getting ready for that opener against Alabama A&M.
And it does make sense, really, when you look at it, all the names we mentioned, the only two that would be changing any position would be those two, if Dylan were to move out and Percy to move in, because the other players we've talked about have already been working at those spots. As you said, Tate at center and guard. We mentioned Braden Joyner has been at left guard, and Tyler Johnson at left tackle. So those other guys are already where they have been practicing.
Percy Lewis would be a big, big offensive guard.
No kidding. My goodness.
Holy cow.
He's a big, whatever.
He's a big man.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's big wherever he's playing, but that would be an interesting look with Percy at that left guard. He likes what he sees, I get the idea, from the right side, including Connor Lue.
And Jeremiah.
And then Jeremiah and Tuchel out there on the right side right now. Connor Johnson's an interesting name. We continue to hear that from different folks. It'll be interesting to see how he emerges as this season goes along on that left side of the offensive line.
And of course, the left side is so critical. That's the blind side for a right-handed quarterback.
Right. It is the blind side. I mean, they made a movie out of it. So, it is a very important part of this offensive line. I had really, until Hugh Freeze talked about it last Friday, I just assumed that that offensive line was pretty set.
Yeah, so did we.
That was a little, I kind of raised my eyebrows when I heard him talk about that. And then he went into a little bit more detail after a scrimmage that none of us got to see this past weekend. He completely closed scrimmage, from what I gather. So I have no intel from the scrimmage or who played where and that type of thing. But that was some interesting news that he was able to, and we appreciate him giving us that news on Tiger Talk last night.
The buzz around Tyler Johnson this offseason reminds me a little bit of the way Too Tall was continually brought up last season, even though he didn't really seem like one of the starting five, and it wasn't long at all before they realized he needed to be out there. And I wonder if that's going to be the case with Tyler. Andy, something really, I know we're up against a break, but something really interesting that Hugh Freeze said, and I think he said it on Tiger Talk last night, was the idea that of the position groups on offense, the one he feels the best about is wide receiver. And I wonder if there's ever been a case in August where the Auburn coach would have told you in 25, 30 years.
It's not like they don't have a running back or two that you feel pretty good about.
They have talent and they have pretty good tight end room. Yeah. Like there's some rooms to be excited about, but the idea that the position group on offense the coach feels the best about is wide receiver, that is uncharted waters for at least recent Auburn fans and maybe not so recent Auburn fans.
Oh, Andy may have hit a bad spot there.
He hung up. He was outraged by he knows we're up against a break.
I doubt that. We do need to get to our first break. I think we've got Andy for one more segment. We'll continue to get his thoughts on that and talk about basketball with the SEC schedule released today. We will get to our first break here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive.
Inspired by the Bulls. 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Literally on The Drive is Andy Burcham. He's headed up to Clanton to speak to the Auburn, to the Chilton County Auburn Club, joining us here on The Drive as he does on Tuesday afternoons. Andy, I don't know when we lost you. Did you hear what Dan was talking about?
No, he was about to make a great point, and I lost it.
Oh, okay.
Completely lost it.
You know, it's a shame, Andy, because it only happens like once or twice. It's right after the Summer Olympics.
Pretty strong assumption on
you. Yeah, have one. I think after the Summer Olympics, every 4 years, I'm allowed to have one. No, Andy, I believe it was on Tiger Talk that Coach Freeze mentioned the position group he feels the best about is wide receiver, and
right.
I wonder if an Auburn coach has ever volunteered that in the last 25.
Last 25, I'd say maybe the last time that would. I don't know. It wouldn't have even been. I was thinking when Auburn had a great receiver corps, but they had a pretty good quarterback room too. So I would say no.
And there have been
I don't know that that's ever been the case.
Let's go back to 2004 because we're about to celebrate 20 years. That's Courtney Taylor, Devin Aromashu, and Ben Ovamanu. I think
and Anthony
pretty
Mix.
Good about that receiving corps.
And Anthony Mix. I doubt that you could feel a whole lot better about those guys than you would Carnell and Ronnie and Brandon and Trey.
No. Yeah, one of those there was a room in 2004 that had two guys that were going to be top 5 picks in the NFL draft from the same position.
Yeah. So,
agreed. But I'm not saying I just think it's been a while.
Oh,
I
yes.
think at that group to me is the last wide receiver group that really, to me, had some buzz to it. I mean, you think about some of the plays that those guys made in 2004. That reminds me, hopefully, of what we're going to see out of this group this season.
I was thinking maybe Chizik's first team in 2009. Granted, they had Ben Tate, who ran for, 1,400 yards that season, but they had some players who ended up being a big part of that 2010 team in the room, and Chris Todd's a friend, and did a good job as the quarterback that year. You know, set a record for passing touchdowns. But I think he would volunteer that a lot of that was because of what he had with him at wide receiver on that team. But it's few and far between, and it's a testament to, you know, how strongly Coach Freeze feels he's brought in both veteran and freshman difference makers, right, Andy?
Well, yeah, I agree. And one thing that stuck out to me about that wide receiver room that he mentioned last night, and listen, a great deal of the hype is the Freeze four, those four freshmen. But I think some other guys are responding to that as well. Camden Brown, for example, is a guy that Coach Freeze has talked about in the last week or so as a guy that has started to step up as well. And he mentioned Camden Brown on that day before the first, or that day of the first practice, as one of the guys that has been one of the leaders mm-hmm. on the offense. And that's a guy we didn't mention hardly at all going into the season because of those three transfers in that room and, of course, the four outstanding freshmen. But I think Camden Brown has responded to those other guys in that room. It's a fascinating mix. I mean, you've got veterans that have never played for Auburn. You have a couple veterans that have played for Auburn. And then you have the four freshmen. So it's a fascinating mix of some really good talent. As good a talent as Auburn's had at wide receiver in a long, long, long time.
Yeah, no question about that. And it's really exciting just to think about watching these guys out there on the field in, little less than 2 weeks. Andy, before we let you go, definitely want to talk about the news of the SEC schedule being released today. We'd heard that the Alabama games were both going to be on Saturdays. That was confirmed, including a regular season ender at Auburn. I love that.
Well, let's say, they those games should always be on a Saturday.
Yes.
For both Tuscaloosa and certainly for Auburn. Now, listen, at Auburn, there's going to be a sellout crowd regardless. But that needs to be a Saturday game. And listen, we talked about it last week. The SEC of late has run through the state of Alabama. In the last 10 years, Auburn has won two regular season and two SEC tournament championships, the same since Nate Oates came to Alabama. Has any other state won that many games or that many titles in the last decade in the Southeastern Conference than the state of Alabama? Those should be Saturday games. And that finale, good night. That finale at Auburn could be crazy.
Hey,
crazy.
How about the first road conference game for the Auburn Tigers this year?
At Texas?
First ever game in Austin, right?
I'll tell you what I like, though. One of the things I like is that's a weeknight game.
Do you like the flexing? Do you like the Tuesday Wednesday thing that they've?
I like that. That way they can put the bigger games on when they want. But I loved it when I looked at the weekend games when you get Tennessee and Florida at home on Saturdays as well as the Alabama game, and then some of the other the Kentucky game is a Saturday. I mean, so a lot of the big ball games are on Saturdays, which it gives you, it lets you know that the conference realizes, you know, what are going to be the marquee games.
Well, and we also found out the bracket today for the Maui Classic. And Auburn gets Iowa State in the first round. Mm-hmm. Bruce Pearl talked about this last night without divulging. I had an idea he probably knew what he was talking about. Because it had already been leaked that Iowa State was the John Rothstein, I guess, had it yesterday, that Auburn would play Iowa State. Bruce Pearl thinks Iowa State's the second-best team in Maui behind UConn. And then you get either Dayton or North Carolina in either the semifinals or the consolation bracket. And that, good night, that's two really tough games. And then, you know, you may be matching up with the three-time or two-time defending national champs, hopefully, in the championship game. So, good night. And I asked Bruce last night, point blank, has he ever played a non-conference schedule? No, he's not, which doesn't surprise me.
But Coach Pearl would not schedule something this ambitious. And I remember last year he was on with us and he talked about how ambitious last year's out of conference schedule seemed at the time, and they still played quality teams, but some of those teams did not have the seasons folks were expecting them to have, and it reflected in Auburn's overall numbers. This is more heavy on traditional powers, teams that have been dominant conference forces of late, like Duke and like Purdue and like Houston, and you know whatever they're going to see in Maui. And I don't think Coach Pearl would schedule something like that if he thought his team was going to get their brains beaten out every time they took the floor. If you were going to be a 30-point underdog in all of these games, even Andy, if Coach Pearl were breaking in five new starters, I don't think he would schedule something like this. I think it's a show of confidence in the group that he has, in the locker room he has, that he thinks his team's going to be competitive in games like these.
Well, let me say this, and I agree with what you just said, Dan. But in defense of last year's schedule, when we saw Notre Dame and Indiana on the schedule, that has a pretty good ring to it. Now, neither one of those teams were all that good a year ago.
Folks were certain USC. Folks were certain about USC,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you got USC, Notre Dame, and Indiana on a schedule a year ago. That's pretty sporty, typically. It wasn't, as it turned out, last year. But this schedule, I mean, this schedule is nothing like it was a year ago, because the teams that Auburn is facing are very, I mean, Purdue is coming off a national championship runner-up finish. The possibility of UConn coming off of two straight championships. Iowa State in the first round in Maui. Duke at Duke, regardless of what year that is. Ohio State in Atlanta. Houston in a neutral site game in Houston. That's as unneutral as you can get, other than the location that the game is being played in Houston. So every time that Auburn goes away from Neville Arena in the non-conference, it is it could be the marquee game of the night in college basketball, period.
Yeah, so, I mean, exciting times. Man, it is great to just think about the basketball, but, I mean, here we are. Less than 2 weeks away from football. Andy, as we mentioned, on his way up to Clanton to speak there to the Chilton County Auburn Club. Andy, let everybody know what all is on tap, what you've got on tap here over the next week or so.
The current Talking Tigers podcast is with Will Herring, who was a safety on that 2004 team. Of course, Will splits time with us now on the Auburn Sports Network as a sideline reporter, along with Ronnie Brown. This coming Monday, we talk kickoff on the Plains with Fred Hobart, Paris Buchanan, and Daniel Watkins, with Auburn Athletics talking about some of the enhancements, some of the changes on game day at Jordan-Hare Stadium. And then in a couple weeks, our podcast with our buddy Don Dunn. And, of course, Tiger Talk started last night. Mm-hmm. And then this coming Monday on game week, we'll be out at Baumhauer's Victory Grill, Q Freeze, and Red Hobart, again, talking about some of those enhancements. That's the schedule right now. I'm on a text chain that I won't be able to respond to until a little bit later. We're already starting to work on our guest list for game one of the Tiger Tailgate Show presented by Konecka Sausage, which starts at 3:30 on the 31st, and the stage has already been set up by the guys at Auburn AV. It is here. Here we go.
Wouldn't you love it? Wouldn't we all love it if the weather were like it's been here the last day or
yes.
two?
Please
count on it. Yeah. Andy, we really appreciate it. It's great to be able to spend a little time with you each week. Safe travels up to and back from Clanton.
I appreciate it, guys. Have a great day. War Eagle.
Appreciate it, Andy. Hey, is Andy still there?
Yeah,
Andy, we recorded top secret stuff. Grubserver is in the can and coming very soon. So we'll I'm looking forward to hearing your feedback on that.
You will have it. You will have it.
Take care, Andy. Thanks.
Take care, guys.
Andy Burcham, voice of the Tigers, joining us as he does, you know, when he's in town. He's here in the studio.
He's the best, isn't he? Oh, and he's just the best, yeah.
All right, we will get to our, a little late, but that's fine. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in. You can do so by calling the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, an Alabama-based firm offering incredible opportunities. Call them up at 334-209-6355. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
All right, we will get to our next break. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Boom. Welcome back into the drive, 18 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in. Anything on your mind sports-wise? Yeah, there's been a lot going on here over the last couple of days. I'm really intrigued and really interested now in what the offensive line looks like. I mean, we can talk about the Hank Brown being the number two quarterback. Like I said, when I was talking to some folks last week, it was like 50-50 people going, well, it could be either one. I do think just my one of my thoughts is I think Hank Brown is someone who is more likely to take a shot downfield, and I think Hugh Freeze appreciates that. I think Hugh wants to take some shots downfield, and I think at times, you know, it seemed a little frustrating at times last year with Peyton. And I think Holden does some of the same thing. If there's not somebody that he sees open, he's more liable to check down. I think Hugh Freeze wants some shots downfield. And I think Hank will take shots downfield a little more.
I don't know enough about, you know, how either of them would play in a game situation. You know, we saw a little bit of it in the bowl game.
Yeah.
And I guess that there's, I mean, the word that keeps coming up on both sides of the ball is consistency, right, Bill? Like, I mean, I wonder if, it came down to who made fewer mistakes, who made more costly mistakes. Maybe you're also looking for who's got more big play upside as well. But I have a feeling that mistakes.
I think mistakes do, but I think both these guys, when we've seen them, have made some mistakes. Mm-hmm. But if that's about even, then the guy who can get you a little bit more. And when you've got it, we talked about this with the receivers, with Auburn's receivers, and you mentioned it a while ago, Hugh Freeze saying, you know, he feels really, really good. I mean, maybe as good, better about that position on offense than any other one. When you've got that group of receivers, you need to trust them sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, put the ball up and see if they come down with it.
Right. And so I wonder, I wonder what, and there's also the, I mean, Hank was recruited by Hugh Freeze to the program, sure. Right? I mean, that's a guy who, not that Holden hasn't had chances to endear himself as well, but you know, Holden was inherited, and Hank was a guy Hugh Freeze went out and actively brought in, and now, you know, if it's close, you know, maybe some of the characteristics that won, and you know, Hugh Freeze took a bit of a chance on Hank. I mean, when you think about, like, he was not necessarily everyone's idea of an SEC quarterback. I don't know how many major conference offers, you know, Hank had necessarily, and to play his way into being the backup and being one play away from being Auburn's quarterback is a testament to how he's handled himself since being here. It's just a matter of what's it going to look like, and also the fact that he's the backup, I would think puts him certainly in contention to succeed Peyton Thorne after the season.
Sure.
You know, depending on what else.
I mean, when you're looking at next year, too, I mean, I believe, and I may be mistaken, I believe Holden Gerner is on track to graduate at the end of this year.
Sure.
And him not being the backup, I mean, I don't know that he'd say it's likely at all that he would be back. This would be something to bring Hank back. You would expect Walker, as he's, you know, learning the system, to continue, and then you want to add another quarterback or two. So yeah, I think that gives you a better chance of having a more full quarterback room.
You know, in-house options, incoming freshmen, and maybe perhaps incoming transfer. and maybe someone from the portal as well competing to be the quarterback next year. Sounds like it could be the plan.
334-321-1390 is the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and Rick is up first. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Bill, how's it going?
Pretty good, man. Uh-oh.
You there?
You there?
Hey, Rick.
Hey, Rick.
Tell you what.
Rick, it's...
We're hearing each other. We're not hearing. Yeah, I don't know if it sounds like there's a delay or something. Tell you what, Rick, hang on if you can, or if you don't mind, yeah. Hang up and call us right back. We'll get to our final break. We'll get back on track, and we'll see if we can talk to Rick. I would imagine he was going to
Drew was going to pick up the phone and try to talk to you during the break. But as I was saying that, Drew hung up on you.
I mean, Rick may want to talk about J.C. Hart, but we'll see what. Rick has, hopefully, when we come back.
Did he sound like that when you answered the phone, Drew?
No.
Okay,
okay. All right. We'll get to our final break. Hopefully, we'll connect back with Rick. You can join in as well, 334-321-1390, as we continue here with the Tuesday Drive.
It's time to plan your next great meal at Acre in Auburn. Chef David Bancroft and his team bring classic favorites to the table with fresh, innovative flavors and artistic presentations. Their unique menu offers something for everyone, from salads, oysters, and fried oats.
On ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan in the studio, Drew at the controls. We lost Rick, and hopefully it's not a problem with our phone, so we'd love for you to call us.
Let me say, hopefully it's not a problem with Rick. Hopefully it's like Rick's okay. You know, we lost him.
Well, that's true. I mean, Rick didn't sound like he was in pain.
We didn't lose him on the operating table. We just, lost him there, so hopefully he's...
Oh, yeah. Don't say that.
What?
You
right. You got no. But you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah,
Bill.
I guess. Although I
you're in good hands.
Ferg's going to be here Thursday, right?
Ferg is going to be here Thursday
because I got a call. Man, of course, I told you we got back in at like 1 o'clock this morning. Of course, right at 8 o'clock, they call to do the pre-op questionnaire, which lasts like 20 minutes. Well, at least it woke me, got me up, and got me going. But I wasn't planning on waking up that early this morning, but she was saying that, I shouldn't be counted on to do anything for at least the rest of the day.
Okay.
Because apparently I will be under, and I need someone to get me. And I don't know what time this thing's going to be.
So. If you want to call in.
I may. I might not even remember it.
Yeah. We're going to have you. So, you can call in under heavy medication on Thursday. And then Barrett can call in from Ireland on Friday at midnight.
That's good.
He can call in from Dublin because that'll be during our show. Mm-hmm. By the way, Bill. Game week. It's like, you know what I mean?
Can
like
you
it's,
believe it? Yeah, I know. It's great. And let's see if we can continue our conversation with Rick. All we got was, hey, Bill, I think that's all we heard.
Hey, Rick.
Well, and here I am having a conversation with myself. And but, you know, I've been married 30-some years, so I'm used to that.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I hear you.
So, Bill, you're finally getting that vasectomy, huh? It's about time.
Well, some things are just better if you wait. I hear. I don't know.
You know, my advice. You know what? My advice is you're gonna, if you want to do, have that done professionally.
Yeah, that would I would think that is probably the best thing to do.
Rishi Rajan is the guy. But anyway, we'll go to another topic. So I was talking about JC a little bit.
Uh-huh.
By JC Hart.
Man, what he has been talked about a lot. This fall, by every coach and player that we've talked to.
I'm telling you, the kid he's my adopted son, I swear. In 25 years of teaching, he's probably the favorite one I've ever worked with. And you know, he worked so hard to get there. His senior year in December, he weighed 174 pounds. I probably shouldn't say some of this, but he doesn't care now. And he can only bench press like 80 pounds. And then he started working out with my son and my son's workout partner. And by the time he reported at Auburn, he weighed 205. And that was just hard work 5 days a week by JC. And he's gotten taller. You know, I think I would say he's probably 6'2 going on 6'3 right now, even though they're calling him 6'1.
They actually list him at 6'2 now.
Okay, so I'm telling you. And his dad's probably about 6'4. So he's not done growing. And he's only he didn't turn 18 until May of his senior year of high school. So he just turned 19 in the spring.
So there are four.
Sky's the limit.
There are four defensive backs. You got the newcomer Spooty Kite. I would say the two guys who redshirted last year, J.C. Hart and Sylvester Smith, and then Terrence Love, who didn't redshirt last year, played a lot of special teams, but didn't see that much time at safety. I think all four of them are going to play more in the first half of the Alabama A&M game than they probably ever have in a college football game in their respective careers, because Auburn needs all four of them to be ready to step in and play a lot. And J.C.'s gotten rave reviews all offseason.
Yeah, it's going to be. Let me tell you something. We just lost a kid out of Boca last week that got shot.
Oh, yeah.
And Javion was another. It was my most recent project. And anyway, I would put where he was at this point of his junior year, he was way ahead of where J.C. was in his junior year. It flew all over the place. I'm still just blown away by it all.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And it's just so sad, but I will brag on JC, and we're going to see him. And he promised that when he gets to the NFL, he's going to fly me to his first game.
That's great.
I'm really pumped. Who did you see? Who did you see recently, Bill, last night?
Earth, Wind, and Fire in Chicago last night.
Okay, so they were down at
in Ameris Bank Amphitheater, yeah, in Atlanta, over in Alpharetta.
I went to Dave Mason recently.
Uh huh.
And it was almost like Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh, geez.
He sounded great, and man, he was looking pretty rough.
Oh well.
We're
not getting younger, Rick. We're not getting younger.
Appreciate it, Rick. Great stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, we are out of time here in hour number one. Love for you to join in. We got the second hour coming up.
Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two here on the Tuesday Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Man, it is just as perfect weather as you could imagine here for August 20th. I mean, temperatures are not in the 90s. They may be touching 90. Humidity is not very high. It is beautiful. It's not going to last for the next 11 days. So in a week and a half, it will be warmer when football season gets started for Auburn University. Meanwhile, high school football looks like the weather could still be really nice, getting a little warmer as we get toward the weekend. But local high school football kicking off all over, and we've got coverage, of course, of Auburn High and Lee Scott right here on the family of stations here with the Auburn Network. We're talking about quite a few things. We're talking a lot about Auburn football, obviously, in the first hour. Some news coming out yesterday as Hugh Freeze announcing the number two quarterback is Hank Brown, and also saying that they're looking at swapping Dylan Wade and Percy Lewis. We had heard last week that Coach Freeze first hint of concern that he was a little concerned, had more concerns with the offensive line than any other spot on the offense, and he talked about seeing where Dylan Wade might be best. And then we asked Percy Lewis at practice, and Percy on Friday said he'd gotten his first look at a position other than left tackle, and it was right tackle. But last night, Hugh Freeze saying they're looking at perhaps moving Percy to guard and Dylan back to tackle where he played last year. So it'll be interesting to see how things shake out on the left side of the offensive line.
Well, what seems to be clear is that, while I think folks were ready to assume that Auburn had five solid starters and a couple of guys that were more in line for reserve roles. Like, that doesn't.
It may appear that they have four.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I think that.
I think Dylan Wade's going to be in the lineup. It seems like.
And I assume too tall. Isn't going anywhere
either.
Sounds
like the right side, like Andy said.
Yeah.
The right side of the line, they feel good about. Too tall, Jeremiah Wright, and then Connor Lue anchoring at center.
I mean, it would be a surprise to see two tackles who aren't too tall and Percy, you know, in there. And there's really been no real talk of I mean, who else?
But Dylan was a starter last year.
Would Ronan Chambers enter this conversation as somebody who could push?
He's only practiced. Well, of course, people move. I mean, we've seen people move. I would think it's either going to be if it's not Percy Lewis, it's going to be Dylan Wade or Tyler Johnson at left tackle. And then if Dylan's not your guard, it could be Percy. It could be Tate Johnson. It could be Braden Joyner.
And if Percy is not the starting left tackle, he could be competing to be the starting right tackle. I think because he worked some at right tackle.
Well, he said he worked at right tackle with the second team last Friday.
But too tall would still be the favorite to be the starting right tackle.
Unless Percy Lewis, they decide Percy Lewis is their sixth man, who we know he can play left tackle. Then they worked him a little at right tackle, maybe working at some at guard. I don't know. That's what it's going to be really interesting to watch. The offensive line, especially the left side.
It sounds like there's real pressure, and it would make sense because of the offensive lineman, the one that wasn't on last year's team,
is
Percy Lewis. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like there's real pressure on Percy Lewis to be a rock-solid left tackle, which, I mean, there were, you know, and I'm not qualified to go beyond, like, the eyeball test with left tackles. When I consult the numbers, it sounds like he was – There were flashes, there were games where Percy Lewis was, especially in pass protection, a very solid left tackle.
Yeah, he was more highly rated as a pass blocker than as a run blocker at Mississippi State.
Right, although that was also like they were, you know, I think some of that might be.
The offenses have more than a little to do with that.
Yeah, some of that might be the team he was on.
But, I mean, his overall rating was actually, I think, just a shade lower than Dylan Wade's was there at the left tackle.
No, there was a belief that he needed to take a personal step forward.
Right.
It wasn't as though, like, what the numbers don't suggest is that Percy Lewis was somebody playing like a superstar left tackle last year, and you could plug him into any championship-level team. You know,
remember that last year was Percy's really first year of starting. He was a part-time starter.
Similar to Too Tall. It's similar to Too Tall. Like a junior college offensive lineman jumping up and getting a taste of SEC football.
But that's what Too Tall was a year ago. Percy's gone through that. Yeah, has gone through the part-time. But Too Tall, apparently, I mean, I think the coaches like the progression Too Tall has made.
Yeah, so. We've seen very little of anyone else as the number one at right tackle. Like I would think
we haven't seen anybody else as number one at right.
Yeah, and when we were speculating on what Dylan Wade, what coach's answer about Dylan Wade was, maybe in fact it was left tackle. We were thinking it was guard.
Is it guard? No, it's obviously. It's the left side.
Sounds like they
thought that, you know, everyone has always projected Dylan as a guard. But if he's the best left tackle you have, then you play him at left tackle.
And it sounds like they're pretty happy with Jeremiah's offseason as well
and where
he could slot in at right guard. I talked to somebody in the last day or so who offered the prediction that Jeremiah could be one of the captains on the team with the way he's been respected on it. We said on the Observer – on the Observer podcast. So and it's an amazing fact about Jeremiah Wright that this is the first offseason where he has had the same coach and he's played the same position.
He's gone back and forth in his
entire Auburn career. And so I thought it'd be funny for them to move him to defensive line before the season starts. But then you gotta, as Nathan King pointed out, like then you have to tell him that he's a captain. Like then you have to give him like it's got to be there's got to be something good on the tail end of the joke.
Award. Yeah,
it's
got to be some carrot.
Yeah. It's got to be something nice on the tail end of that joke. Yeah. It's like no, but it would be that'd be a really cool story of a guy who's put in a lot of work and it sounds like, you know, between I would think that 4 year starters, right, Bill, are Wade.
Yeah, I think
are
so.
Wade, Lou, Wright, and Too Tall.
Yes.
It's just a question of
where is Dylan Wade?
And is Percy that fifth guy? And if not,
Who is it?
Yeah, is it Dylan Wade at guard and Tyler at tackle, or is it someone else playing guard with Dylan Wade out there?
All right, we're just underway here in hour number two of the drive, and the second hour of the show, as usual, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And you can join us by calling the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, that number 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
Let's get to the drive hotline, and Terry's been hanging on for a few minutes. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Dan. How y'all doing today?
Doing all right, Terry.
Great. Before I get to what I've got a quick medical story I want to share with you guys. Back in 1988, I had all four of my wisdom teeth removed.
Mm. And at the same time?
At the same time.
Oh, my goodness.
And as soon as the doctor made sure I was out of the anesthesia, the first thing he said to me was, well, don't worry, you didn't tell us no secrets, and he giggled.
Yeah, really.
that's terrifying. I was like, what did I say? didn't they go out and get Percy Lewis in the purpose of moving Dylan Wade to guard?
Well, yes. I don't think Percy was the only tackle that they pursued.
They definitely pursued an upgrade at tackle in the offseason with the hope that Dylan Wade would slot into guard. They went after a couple of tackles along with Percy Lewis, and Percy Lewis is the one that Auburn was able to secure. It's a question of, can Percy hang on to the job?
Yeah, he's your prototypical left tackle. What is he, about 6'8 or 6'9?
He's around 6'8, 350, 355. I think they'd like him a little lighter than that. I mean, they've talked about, and players have talked about how light he is on his feet. And that's the thing, like Dan was saying, there have been some flashes. There have been times when, wow, he's really, really doing some things well. And Jake Thornton had known him, recruited him at junior college. When he was at junior college, recruited him to Ole Miss. But I mean, they need to see the consistency there, and that apparently has been a problem for them. Whether it's communication or what, they're not getting the consistent play. And boy, you really need it there at that left tackle.
Absolutely, and Dan, maybe what Dan said, leave a guy there and let him grow into the position a little bit, and don't rush things. He sounds like he could grow into it. I don't know. Maybe they're no better than I do.
They don't. You know what though? In this era of college football, it's tough to let guys grow into a role because it's a microwave era. Like you want it on demand. We do not want to wait until we don't want to wait 30 minutes for the thing to be over.
Now, I'm going to put you guys on the spot, but I'm going to ask a very direct question. If I said Bill and Dan, tell me who the quarterback's going to be in the future. Don't tell me the race. We all know it's going to be a competition. But who do you think is going to be the quarterback next year? One name.
All right. My first thought is it's another transfer.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's what makes it tough to pick a name.
So I couldn't give you a name.
Is that there's no telling what the quarterback market is going to look like in December.
I mean, I feel like if things go according to plan, Peyton Thorne's your quarterback this year. You hopefully bring in a Deuce Knight to add to the room, but then you wouldn't have an experienced guy, and you'd go after an experienced quarterback for next year. While that following year in 26 would be the year where you're hopefully having one of your own products, step in and be the starter.
Yes, a true freshman in 25. I mean, we're even now. It's so tough for a true freshman to break in unless the situation is absolutely perfect at quarterback. We're seeing guys sort of wait their turn at least a year. I would think that it's, unless we see more out of any one of the quarterbacks other than Peyton than we've seen right now, I would think that the favorite to start would be a transfer they identify in December as the right guy to join the team.
Okay, I can accept that. Michael Pratt, wasn't he one of the guys who were being rumored last year? Because I say that
the two lane quarterback.
Uh huh.
Right.
Well, his name was definitely tossed around. I don't know, how close anything ever came.
Yeah, I mean, he was being tossed around for sure. He was playing that for the Packers. I thought that name sounded kind of familiar.
Well, he probably would have been good enough then.
Yeah. Take care, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Terry. Appreciate the call. 334. Yeah, I mean, it's this. No telling who could be heading in the portal. What's going to, you know. Ask me again mid-season, and there'll probably be some names that people are talking about, and you'll have a better idea as to the situation you've got right now on campus.
And it's a little bit disappointing for folks, I imagine, for folks who meticulously track rosters and transactions and recruiting, because there is no next season anymore.
No,
I don't know. You want Bill? Tell me what this depth chart. I mean, you can do it. You can feel a little bit better because Auburn has freshmen and sophomores who feel like they could move up in the event of guys leaving. But you don't know if those freshmen and sophomores are sticking around either.
Right.
So, like to project next year's depth chart at any position with certainty.
Oh yeah, right. I mean, let's go back to the conversation we had with Andy about feeling better about wide receivers than you've ever had. All right, you know the seniors won't be back, but there's no guarantee of any. I mean, you have no idea.
Yeah.
What's going
there's
on?
There's no projection. What
if they're all that good, then you know that there's no way that six guys are going to come back to play three positions.
You used to be able to do that with some degree of certainty,
absolutely.
and that's something that's changed a lot in college football is that you used to look at a team playing a bunch of freshmen and sophomores and say, boy, they're going to be dangerous in a couple of years, maybe even in a year. And now you look at a team doing that and you say, like, how many of those guys are going to stick around? Like, where are they going to play next? Because so many guys move around now. So it's tough to project anything beyond this season. And look, maybe Hank or Holden or Walker gets an opportunity and seizes it and makes it a little bit easier to say, that's your guy. In 2025, right now we haven't seen enough of any of them to predict with any degree of certainty that one of those guys could be your starting quarterback next year.
No, but it's fun to talk about, but it is just speculation at best. All right, let's get to our first break of hour number two. Love for you to join in. Anything on your mind sports-wise, 334-321-1390 as we continue with the Tuesday Drive.
Experience on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the studio with Drew at the controls. Again, love to hear from you. Anything that you want to talk about sports-wise, we mentioned Auburn basketball. The schedule is officially released, the SEC schedule. We already had talked about the non-conference schedule and how daunting that is. Let's see, things get started on Saturday, the January 4th with a home game against Missouri. And then we see some midweek games where it's either or. You've either got a Tuesday or Wednesday game. We didn't really get into that very much, but I like the idea. It's a little tough if you're coming from out of town. you're a season ticket holder and you've got tickets, and it's like, well, it could be Tuesday, it could be Wednesday, it could be early, it could be late. Now, we don't know times on any of these. But the first road game is at Texas. That'll be either January 7th or 8th. Then Auburn turns around that weekend and goes to South Carolina before returning home for the next midweek game against Mississippi State. And again, that's another one of the either Tuesday or Wednesday. We were talking about it a little earlier, and Dan, you asked, you know, How did I like that? I don't mind that. I said, now the one thing I was saying just a second ago is I probably wouldn't be thrilled if I was an out-of-town season ticket holder and not knowing whether I've got a Tuesday or Wednesday game that you're trying to accommodate. But, I mean, I like the idea of being able to get the best matchups, you know, available for TV.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, it's a sign of the synergy between the SEC and ESPN, the cooperation between the two, that now you have midweek flex games. You know, now you have games where where the SEC is going to choose. And I wonder what the priority is. Do you want the biggest?
Yeah, I don't know. Is the bigger one? I don't know if the bigger one is Tuesday or Wednesday.
Maybe it depends on what else is going on in the ACC that night, and what else, you know, because ESPN will also have, you know, you have Duke and North Carolina considerations to consider in some of those matchups. But yeah, I'm sure it'll be about preserving the biggest matchups. Unfortunately, often the biggest matchups are the later game on weeknights.
That is correct.
That's
one of the drawbacks to being the marquee game.
That's a tax you pay when you enter the season as one of the contenders to win the conference, is that your games are going to become bigger games.
And I don't have to get up and go to work the next morning anymore. So
that's right.
Fine.
So you'll be absolutely fine. And in fact, yeah, you'll be able to stay till the bitter end.
We don't ever leave four games.
You were never leaving. You were never leaving early. Anyways, but maybe a road game or two, right? Were you talking? I mean, that's maybe
a
consideration. Texas would be cool.
Oh, that would be
that first game in.
I mean, what do you think? I mean, what were your impressions there? We'll go ahead and run through the schedule. Then we'll get folks' thoughts on it. I mentioned that Mississippi State game at home on the midweek of January 14th or 15th to Athens for that Saturday. Then you got a week. You have no conference game for a week, and Tennessee comes to Auburn on Saturday the 25th before you travel to LSU for that next flex midweek game at Ole Miss. So you go back-to-back road games there with Ole Miss that Saturday. You have Oklahoma at home on either Tuesday or Wednesday. So the Sooners get to come to Auburn for both football and basketball. And then the Gators come in that Saturday. So the following week you're at Vandy and then to Tuscaloosa for the Saturday. As we had heard, it was confirmed both the Auburn-Alabama matchups are on Saturdays, February 15th in Tuscaloosa, and then closing the regular season with Alabama at the arena. I love that. The fact that both Auburn-Alabama games are on Saturdays.
Is the whole conference off the 18th to the 25th, or is that
Well, you wouldn't think that's not your conference.
Does everybody
matchup?
Have? Does everyone just randomly have a week? A week off? And well, I know that's the week of the national championship game in football, and so that's the Monday.
Oh, okay. Well, then that would make sense.
The Monday playoff, the Monday championship game in football is on the 20th.
Okay,
and so
it probably is.
I wonder if that coincides,
because they figure somebody in the SEC is going to be playing in that championship.
And maybe it's coincidence that's Monday the 20th is the championship game.
I think that would be they would be intent.
Well, I don't know if everyone in the league is off that week or just Auburn.
Oh, okay.
Because if everyone in the league is off,
the league released a full schedule, so I'm sure you can find it.
Yeah, I was going to say if everyone in the league is off that week, then maybe it's related to the fact that the championship game is that Monday. If it's just Auburn, maybe that's just when Auburn's week happens to be.
Let's see. The remainder of the schedule after the Alabama game in Tuscaloosa on the 15th, Auburn gets Arkansas midweek, February 18th or 19th. Then Auburn actually has three straight home games. They get Arkansas at home midweek, Georgia on weekend of the 22nd, and then Ole Miss the midweek, the last week of February. So three straight home games before the Tigers close it out with a road trip to Lexington on a Saturday, Texas A&M midweek, and then Alabama coming to Auburn on March 8th. What is the toughest stretch that Auburn has in here?
Probably the last three games, going at Kentucky, at A&M, and then hosting Alabama.
Yep.
I agree. You've got two of the, I would say, three of the top five preseason SEC teams potentially in your final three.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a pretty fair schedule, but I mean, it is tough there at the end. I love the fact that you get Auburn, Alabama to close things out. These are teams that should be, if not the two best, among the best teams in the league, and that could be for an awful lot right there to close out the regular season.
Arkansas and Georgia at home back to back after Alabama should be a lot of fun that week.
Yeah.
of we'll see what Auburn looks
Arkansas,
like.
Arkansas, Georgia, and Ole Miss. I mean, back to back home games.
Your one stretch of three straight SEC games there in the same week. Arkansas, Georgia, Ole Miss there at the end of February, and you have back to backs with Oklahoma and Florida as well earlier in the month of February. That's probably another. Without knowing what Ole Miss is going to look like, I would think that LSU and Oklahoma and Vanderbilt are probably going to be three projected bottom half of the league teams. And so a stretch where you play at LSU, at Ole Miss, Oklahoma and Florida at home, and then at Vanderbilt.
You go to Tuscaloosa.
You know, that could be a stretch where Auburn, you know, has a chance to be favored in three or four, maybe even all five of the games they play leading up to Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, early on, Auburn's on the road more. They play five of their first eight conference games on the road. And then we mentioned those three straight home games before the road trip to Kentucky and A&M and Alabama. So four of their last six are at home. Five of the first eight on the road, four of their last six at home.
And it's another it's credit to Coach Pearl and his staff for scheduling Auburn away from Neville Arena as much as they did in November and December, because Auburn's going to go on the road and play quality competition, five road SEC games before February 2nd. Mm-hmm. Like you've got, I mean, that is.
Yeah, they should be road tested.
Yeah, I mean, leading into the month of February, Auburn will have already played five conference games on the road. Right. And so I think that you're going to want, you know, you don't have time to ease into that. I mean, that game at Texas, if Auburn's what we think they are, that game at Texas is going to be huge. And it's going to be a hornet's nest in Austin, middle of the week.
Middle of the week, too.
And I think, that should be, Auburn, you know, you would think that Coach Pearl had that in mind when he put together a non-conference schedule that tests Auburn the way it does away from home, because they're going to be tested away from home when you get into SEC play, too.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. I didn't mention this a little earlier. Tex, if you're listening, I just, when I was talking about some of the shows we were going to see and some of the best shows, he had called in. I got noticed today. I can pass along the pre-sale password for you, Tex. Mother's Finest tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in Atlanta. If you'd like to go, that was I believe his favorite show when he had called in about that. And with that, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in the final half hour here of the Tuesday Drive. 25 minutes away from 6 o'clock. Bill and Dan here in the studio with Drew at the controls. And we're going to head back to the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Welcome in our good friend from Crane & Company, and that is Jake Crane. Jake, how you doing, man?
It's game week for college football fans, Bill. It's amazing. The sun's shining a little brighter. The birds are chirping a little bit more. The food tastes a little better. It's time, man.
You're right, I'm just dreaming. I don't know what the weather's like where you are, but I mean, it is perfect right now. There's no way that by the time we actually have football here, it's going to be this pleasant. But yeah, you're absolutely right. And I know you were talking about having him on last week. We're expecting a call from our buddy Barrett Salee on Friday night at about 11:30 Dublin time,
live
from whatever pub he's in.
Yeah, live from some just live from wherever they throw people when you're ejected from the Guinness Brewery.
Yeah,
yeah, live from a ditch outside of the Guinness tasting.
Dressed up in a leprechaun outfit.
Well, singing karaoke, wherever they're doing karaoke,
doing 5,000 miles by the Pretenders karaoke.
Oh God, I can see
karaoke,
that. I can
but
see
but
it.
It's
but you're right. It is great. It's great that it's here.
I mean, it's starting with and I know people call it week zero. I don't think week zero is a real thing. Just like patient zero isn't a real thing, or pre-boarding for an airplane. But I tell you, man, I think this Georgia Tech-Florida State game, I know people are obviously going to be excited. It's the first game of the year. It's being played over in Ireland. But remember, it was like Notre Dame and Navy, and then it was like Northwestern and Nebraska. This one, not that Northwestern Nebraska in a bad game. But I think this one could be really, really interesting. And if Auburn fans out there remember Haynes King at Texas A&M, oh, dude's gotten a lot better. He's going to be fun to watch on Saturday.
Jake, it's been an exciting offseason for Auburn. We've had a lot of access these last couple of weeks. And Hugh Freeze said something. We were talking about it with Andy Burcham in hour number one. You know, that the receiver group is maybe the thing, the position group he's most excited about on offense, the group he feels the best about. And that's new. Amazing. That's new territory for Auburn.
Yeah, it's like, you mean we're going to catch the ball and run with it after and get open and do those things? Yeah, look, I think the coolest part about the wide receiver room is not only the versatility from a skill set standpoint. You've got big guys that can run. You've got small guys that can really run. But I like the versatility in age group as well. You have some older veterans, even coming to the transfer portal, like Lambert, like Robert Lewis, right? Guys that have been here. And then you have that younger crop of Perry Thompson and Cam Coleman and Malcolm and Bryce and all these guys. I love the versatility of skill set and the versatility of age. That is a long-term solution to what seemed like a long-term problem for Auburn here lately.
Yeah, now, conversely, I mean, we seem to think until last Friday that the offensive line was set. Hugh Freeze told us last Friday that that's probably the area that he is more concerned about offensively, the opposite end of the spectrum there from the receivers, and that he wanted to figure where the best place for Dylan Wade was. We didn't know if at that time that meant, well, is guard a concern? Is he not working well at guard? Well, no, it turns out last night after we heard him on Tiger Talk that it's the left tackle that is the concern. Percy Lewis brought in from junior college, and now Percy told us last week, well, he got his first practices ever at a position other than the left tackle when he worked a little bit at the second team right tackle. Now Hugh Freeze is talking about perhaps moving him inside and bringing Dylan Wade back to the position he played a year ago at left tackle.
Yeah, you know, that is concerning. To be honest with you, I would much rather him be raving about the offensive line than any skill position outside of quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds to me, and I mean, you see this all the time, look, some guys are really big and they look like tackles, but they have the feet and the deflection. They got to play inside. And Dylan's played at tackle. He's going to be familiar with it. I don't think it should be, you know, DEFCON 1 or whatever right now, but the longer it takes to get that set five, the longer it takes for them to gel together. And this is where, and I want to take Auburn fans kind of back to Michigan the last couple years, and this happens at a lot of places, but it just happened to happen at quarterback at Michigan, where they treated the first basically three games as almost like an extension of fall camp to see who's going to get there. What worries me is Auburn starts playing musical chairs too much, and these guys can't get set, and by the time they play somebody that's worth their weight, or that can go up and compete with Auburn physically and athletically, it's going to be something that Peyton Thorne's always having to look at. So I trust the coaching staff. Obviously, I think Hugh Freeze's transparency is great. Those players hear that. They understand the sense of urgency. And I don't care where you got to put them. You just put the best five out there. But I will say, Bill, too, a caveat. This is where having Peyton Thorne being right-handed and being able to be mobile really helps you out.
Yeah.
Because if you're worried about that left tackle spot, we can do a little sprint out. You slow defensive ends down with that RPO zone read action, especially when you flip it and run it to that side. So there's ways to go around it, but you just don't want to have to rob Peter to pay Paul anywhere.
Yeah, I think that's – we were wondering if the pass protection issues were maybe under scrutinized compared to some other things. You know, it's easy to look at Auburn's problems on offense last year and exclusively look at quarterback and receiver and play calling as the reasons why things weren't where they needed to be. But I think pass protection was at times part of the problem. And to hear Hugh Freeze, like, we're wondering if it's motivational. He singled out communication, which makes you think that's something that could get better as, you know, these guys get to play some games. But it's a little bit of a bombshell that Hugh Freeze dropped there on Friday in mentioning that things have not been all biscuits and gravy for the offensive line this offseason.
Well, that's a great pun, first off, Dan. But second off, again, how many times have you ever heard coaches come out and say, you know what, we're just great at every position group. You know, we're exactly where I want us to be. We could not be better than where we are right now. Not saying that he's going out there and manufacturing adversity.
Just chomping a cigar the whole time, Jake.
Yeah, yeah. This may just be kind of the final, you know, motivating factor of him letting them know kind of how he sees it. And look, they know. As far as communication, please talk too much. Please just talk too much. That's what we used to tell our guys in the back end, right? If we're all wrong, then we're all right. If we all run the wrong thing, then we're all right. That's what I used to tell our guys. I don't want us to run the wrong thing, but if one of us is going to run the wrong thing, let's all run the wrong thing together. So when you look at that aspect of it, I think Auburn's going to be fine. Now, last year, I think it was amazing Auburn was able to run the ball the way they were able to run the ball because everybody knew Auburn couldn't throw the ball. But what happens is when you get into 3rd and 7 and 3rd and 8, and there's no question whether you're going to throw the ball or not, which is what seemed like Auburn lived in last year, defenses are going to pin their ears back and go get you because they know you're throwing it. That's why it seemed like half the games, including the Texas A&M game, Peyton Thorne was staring at the rush like it was Sidney Sweeney running down the beach in a bikini because they were just loading up on 3rd and 8 saying, go get it, fellas. So the balance, the versatility, the ability to call plays and pitch backwards, which means throw the ball on first down, have confidence running play action on first down, I think that'll alleviate some of the tendency and therefore some of the pressure the offensive line has to face.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, and I think it's better to try to go ahead and get it figured out right now. If you feel like you've got a problem out there at left tackle, let's see if we can't find a better alternative.
No, look, you got to put the best 5 out there. And you know, what worries you is you're having to take somebody from inside and put them outside or flip a position that goes outside. I would much rather have a problem of, hey, we need to find another guard, as opposed to, hey, we got to put a guard out at tackle. That typically doesn't work out well.
Talking with Jake Crane from Crane and Company here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Jake, I want to play the same game with you that we played with Barrett on Friday. We have the preseason AP and coaches polls. I'll use the AP poll just because it's the one right in front of me. So I want a preseason top 10 AP poll team that will not make the college football playoff, and a team not in the preseason top 10 that you think will make the college football playoff, Jake.
All right, give me Notre Dame to not make it.
Okay,
they got
7-3
written all over them.
Seven in the preseason bowl. Their path to the playoff, if they lose at college in Kyle Field to A&M on opening night, gets a lot tougher.
No, it does. The question is, you know, does 10-2 get them in? It's Notre Dame, so it probably does. I don't think 9-3 gets them in. As far as a team that's outside of the top 10 that could make the college football playoff, that one's easy. I got Utah winning the Big 12.
Yeah, you know, Barrett took Oklahoma State. I think taking a Big 12.
Well,
he probably
has them winning the Big 12.
Yeah, I think taking the Big 12 champion, because there isn't a Big 12 team in the top 10 in the preseason, taking the Big 12 champion is probably a smart play there. We even discussed the possibility that Gus Malzahn and UCF could make some noise this year in
that defense better get better in a hurry.
It's just such a wide open league. I mean, it's, you know what? Kansas wouldn't be a crazy pick in this you know, team that committed, and it's Kansas. We're not talking about the Sweet 16.
Dan, in my Big 12 predictions we put out yesterday, I got Kansas and Arizona both finishing in the top 5 of that league. If you'd have told me that 6 years ago, I'd have called the cops.
We're talking football, right? Kansas and Arizona are top 4 teams it's absolutely.
I love it. Hell, Auburn and Alabama are preseason 1 and 2 in SEC men's basketball. Why not?
It's outstanding. Yeah, it's outstanding. It's a bizarro world that we have found ourselves in.
Oh, without a doubt. I think it's great for the sport, too. I mean, the more teams that are better that kind of come up out of nowhere, you know, I think it moves the sport forward. And the same thing in basketball on the reverse. So as much, I mean, I tell you who I'm interested in. Speaking of a basketball school, Fran Brown and Syracuse, year one there in the ACC. They get Kyle McCord, obviously, from Ohio State. I'm very interested to see how he does, because he's a guy I think that if he has success at Syracuse, he'll be back in the SEC within 3 years.
Yeah, we were just talking a little basketball a while ago, looking at the schedule that I tell you what, I like Auburn's schedule. I like the Saturday games. I like the fact that both the Alabama games are Saturdays. I mean, it's a little bit tough down the stretch with at Kentucky and A&M before Alabama comes in to close things out. But what a heck of a way to end the regular season to have that matchup on a Saturday.
Well, yeah, Bill, but look, I'm spoiled now. Auburn basketball fans are spoiled. What seed are we? That's what I want to know. What seed are we in the NCAA tournament, and who do we got first? Because Bruce Pearl has spoiled us to this point.
I know what you mean, Jake, but I would caution this team – feels special enough that I would caution people against just tuning out until March and thinking
I'm not saying don't tune out. I'm just saying I expect good things to happen, sure. And I'm really going to be biting my nails when we get back to the NCAA tournament. Look, we've had great regular seasons. We're going to have another great one with this team. We just won the SEC basketball tournament. That's awesome. It's so cool that we are to the point at Auburn basketball and Alabama basketball, honestly, that we are now like, all this other stuff is great. We're ready for March because we're actually going to be there.
It feels less crowded at the top, though, than before either, right? Because when you talked about Auburn and Alabama in previous years, you had – and granted, Tennessee – there are people who think Tennessee is the best team in the conference still going into this year. You know, I probably would put them closer to 3-5. But, I mean, you had Kentucky and you had Arkansas and you had other programs, you know, right there. This feels like a different kind of thing when Auburn and Alabama are as clear-cut as it seems they are going into the season, and Auburn's playing an out-of-conference schedule that suggests Bruce Pearl is extremely confident in the group that he's got going into this year.
That, and there's a chip on their shoulder after what happened last year. Remember, not only did Auburn lose to Yale in the first round, Bama went all the way to the Final Four, so they got that chip on their shoulder too. The SEC is going to be fantastic again this year. It's just so nice to be able to look forward to basketball season, not just because I love basketball and I love Auburn, but because I love that Auburn is good at basketball.
Yeah, hey, it's crazy. Here we are, as we said, football season starting, and we're actually talking a little basketball. I mean,
Who'd have thought?
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, Jake, let everybody know what you got going on there at Crane & Company.
Yes, well, it's prediction week. We always wait till the end of fall camp, pretty much. I got to know who gets hurt, who wins what job, and who gets arrested. So we've done Big 12 and ACC so far. We got our SEC predictions tomorrow. I think Auburn fans may like where I have Auburn at. We'll see. You can find us 2 to 3:30 p.m. Central live, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that. Crane & Company, C-R-A-I-N and Company. We have live calls and a live chat, and it's going to be heavy SEC tomorrow, so I suggest you tune in.
Sounds great, Jake. Thanks again, man. Have a great week.
All right. Y'all be good.
Jake Crane joining us as he does each Tuesday here on The Drive. We need to get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us here on The Drive.
Four Seasons Federal Credit.